Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast, a podcast that keeps you awake at night wondering what the heck it was talking about. I'm your host, Pete Pollock, and this week on the show, Ben-Hur, a movie about a guy so tough he can be called Hur and still be seen as tough. What more do we know about this fascinating young gentleman? Well, we'll find out coming up. So this film is an epic, what we like to call in the biz an epic motion picture. It's big, it's widescreen, it's brightly colored, and it's long. It's very long. And the question with any kind of really long movie is, did it need to be long in the way that Dances with Wolves didn't need to be long? Or did it need to be long in the way that Return of the King probably did need to be long, and, there's a lot to cover. And Ben-Hur kind of falls somewhere in the middle on that. I went into it expecting, and really, I held off watching it for a few days. Number one, because it's a big time commitment, and, you know, you got to work that into the old schedule, but it also, I was expecting this giant, kind of hokey, epic film from the 1950s that I wasn't really going to get blown away by. And to some degree, that's not an incorrect assessment. But that said, there is now the acting is kind of wooden sometimes. Charlton Heston, he's an acquired taste. For every it's a madhouse. For every awesome bizarre moment that he's worked into his career, there's some strange overacting and he's one of the only guys that I feel can be wooden and overact at the same time. I don't know if anybody else has had that impression, but that's kind of how he comes across to me. So the question about this film then is getting past the somewhat big epicness where people tend to be larger than life and saying their lines as though everything they say is incredibly important. Is it really entertaining? And it turns out it actually is. There are some genuinely, to me, not having seen it before, there are some genuinely surprising scenes in it. And there are also some really, really exciting scenes. And you may have heard of the chariot race. There's a chariot race in there, and it rocks. There's a lot of stuff going on. Let me get to the plot for a second. The idea is that it all takes place around the time of Christ. And it opens with a prelude kind of a thing with Christ being born, which really, aside from the fact that Christ shows up at various points in the movie, you know, I guess it's good to remind people if they don't know the story of the manger and stuff like that. But I suspect that a lot of the viewers already knew that. But that's cool. They work that in. You know, they've got the star shining down and everything, and the wise men show up. And one of the wise men actually shows up later in the movie, so I guess there is a tie-in there. But, you know, the prelude part is a little extraneous, because the next thing you know, after the credits, is Ben-Hur, who is a prince in Judea. He grew up with a Roman kid. And the Roman kid, you know, his dad was some type of an official, and the Roman kid moved away, went to Rome, got schooled there, and then he comes back, and he's the tribune. He's going to be in charge of the garrison in Jerusalem. And so he shows up, and the first thing he does is he gets together with his old friend, Charlton Heston, Ben-Hur, and they shake hands, and they throw spears around, and they clap each other on the back, and they have a nice little talk where the Roman guy says, hey, you know, I really need you to help me get things under control, because there's trouble brewing around here. And I want you to help, you know, you're influential in the community. I want you to help me out. And Ben-Hur says, hey, I'm, you know, you're my friend, but really I can't do that. I can't sell out my own people. You're part of an occupying army, and I'm not going to go along with that. And so Messala, he's the Roman guy. He responds with the famous line that we've heard time and time again: "If you're not with me, you're against me." And that sets him up, and he goes from being okay in those first few minutes, you know, maybe a little intense, but you know he's going to end up being the bad guy. He pretty much throws the bad guy switch right then and there, and everything goes downhill. And within a few days, Ben-Hur and his family are imprisoned. Ben-Hur is sent off to be a slave, a galley slave on a ship, and you know, everything just goes to hell in a handbasket for this guy. And what happens? Ben-Hur, as a slave, makes an unlikely ally with the consul, who's in charge of the fleet of the ship that he's on, and he ends up saving the guy's life, and they float away, and the guy brings him back to Rome, and they're friends, and all of a sudden he's got status and everything else. Well, you know, when somebody gets sent away to be a galley slave in ancient Rome, I think the rule of thumb is that they ain't coming back. You're not going to see them again. You've just sent them off, and they're going to work themselves for a year or two or whatever, and they're going to die. Well, of course, Ben-Hur does come back, because it wouldn't be much of a movie if he didn't say, "I'll be back," and then, you know, "I'll be back," and then he comes back. And he didn't come back. If he didn't come back, you wouldn't have much of a movie. So, of course, he comes back. He's dressed in Roman garb. He's like, "Hey, I'm back. And I told you I was going to be back. And now I want my mom and my sister out of the prison. And you're going to be listening to me now because I have status." Well, Messala is not going along with that. And there's some bad things that happen that I'm not going to tell you too much about. But it all culminates with the chariot race, with these two guys going head to head, and it's a brutal, it's exciting. It's not brutal compared to a lot of today's movies. But there's some, I'm telling you, there's some people that man, you see a guy come off a chariot and get run over by like 12 horses. It's they don't show it graphically, but you know, there's bodies flying around in this thing, and it's really intense. I will say that, and kind of spectacular. Thousands of people cheering on, and well, you know, you can probably guess who wins the race. And once all that happens, now we get into a little bit, and I hate to say this, because this is the part where Christ comes in, and this is, you know, one of the main themes of the movies, but as a movie, now we get into this scene after the race is over and you think that things are kind of set the way they are. One more set of plot lines is set into motion. And now you've got another half hour of movie to go through. And I don't think that the stuff that happens in that last half hour lives up to some of the action and excitement that's going on in the first part. I know that from the filmmaker's point of view, they were trying to make the statement in the last half hour, the religious statement and everything else. I get that. But as a movie, it's a little bit of like, oh, wow, you know, the you had all this excitement happening, and now you've got this, you know, kind of biblical story that's interesting, but after all the excitement, it's a little bit of a letdown. So I'm going to give this one, this is a buy it. It's a buy it. There's no two ways around it. Whatever flaws it has, you know, with a little bit of the overacting and stuff like that, it's still an exciting movie, and there's some very moving parts. And yeah, I'm not sure that the historical accuracy is 100%. As a matter of fact, I'm fairly certain it's not. All the people look very European to me. I won't say all the people. I got to mention one other person in this film who's really, he's not in a lot of it, but he steals the show every time he's on screen. And that is this sheikh dude. And, you know, he's an Arab sheikh, and he's there. He owns a bunch of horses that he's entering in the chariot race, and Ben-Hur ends up racing for him, and he's got a ton of money, and he loves his horses, and he likes Ben-Hur, and he's just he is a riot every time he's on the screen. He's not always funny. I don't mean riot in that way, but he steals the show. He walks in and he is just as entertaining as can be, the way he interacts with people, the way he yells at them, the way he tosses money around. He's just, he's great. And I honestly, you know, I should have looked up the name of the actor, but, you know, he's obviously further down the list. And he shows up in maybe two or three scenes, but every scene he's in, it's like, that dude is awesome. You know, you just got to like him. So if you see this movie, watch for him. Anyway, this is definitely a buy it. Go out and get this film, and you can watch it more than once. And, you know, you watch it two or three times, you've got a good month's worth of activity because it's so long. Next week, The Apartment with Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine and Fred McMurray. And it's always great to see Fred McMurray in an Oscar-winning film. I'm not sure there are many of those, but there should have been more, because, you know, he's the father on my three sons, and you gotta love that. And he's the absent-minded professor. So that's what's happening next week. I will be back. I am Pete Pollack. This is the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast. It is a production of the Big Noisy Bug Media Empire. Go to bignoisybug.com. Check out more of these podcasts and The Chico Walker Show. It's our comedy podcast. And have a good week, everybody. So long.